Hi all, and welcome to episode 54 of the Two Sporting Muppets. As always, you're here with Greg and my co-host, Gray. Been over a week, but how have you been travelling?
I've been well, thank you, Greg. Exciting time of year, leading into Christmas. As you know, I'm heading off on a jaunt to the USA later this week. So, yeah.
A little bit jealous, actually. This will be the last one for 2003, so nice to catch up on sport. Bit of a, I know we're going to do a bit of wrap-up and summation of what happened this year, but yeah, it's been another good year. But yeah, a bit jealous of you travelling overseas again, must say. Wish it was me, but yeah, you know, can't always have it.
Loved you last year, I recall.
It was very true. It was. It was this time last year, not long, about the same time last year, it was my turn. So got to share it around, I guess. Can't be too selfish.
Yeah, we do. So to our listeners, look, if my house gets robbed while we're away, I wouldn't suggest our listeners do that because it won't be hard to track you down.
No, not at all. Not at all.
When there's only four people.
Correct.
Know about.
Correct. Yeah. It narrows the pool dramatically.
But on a serious side, look, thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoyed the year, and we've still got a little bit to talk about.
Yeah, surprisingly, it's gone a little bit quiet in sport, but we're just chatting then how much there is to not just recent, but review for the last 12 months or thereabouts. So yeah, nice way to finish off and sum up the year before you head off, and then think about what next year's going to look like in the sporting world.
And I'll throw up flanks as it always does. So Greg, I'll start. Now, I think we finished last week saying, oh, no doubt something. And I had a Zillner very quick to remind us. You seem to have forgotten the Rugby League Pacific Champ final.
Yeah, we did.
New Zealand absolutely smashed Australia.
Was that by choice, subconsciously, do you think? We just left that bit out. But yeah, you're right. We did forget. And credit to New Zealand, as you just said, they absolutely smashed Australia in that end-of-year test match, which was a combination of Pacific Island matches. But yeah, absolutely smashed us over there in New Zealand. So great win to New Zealand.
Yeah, look at the Kiwis, and they rightly do be disgruntled, us forgetting it. Yeah, like the week before, the way that they played the week before, and New Zealand were terrible. Whether they were foxing a bit, I don't know. But we were speaking about how everyone, you know, the whole doing the test series after that, it was a real slog. But anyway, and even the final crowd held in Waikato, it was embarrassing, absolutely embarrassing. I don't know.
That's a real shame considering how well New Zealand played. I didn't catch it. As you said, I was burnt out by rugby league by then. I was needed to move on from rugby league. They just dragged the season out too long, which is really sad because the players deserve better than that. I think it flew under the radar, which is a poor excuse for us missing it last week. But it was one of those things where it's like we've moved on from rugby league. What else is happening? And then obviously that significant result for New Zealand occurred, as you said, not well attended and certainly flew under the radar in the sporting world, which is players deserve better than that.
The people who matter, the New Zealand players, they certainly did. And it was an embarrassment. You know, being such a strong team throughout, they certainly didn't see it coming. Like, to not even score a point. So, no Australian cheek. So, you know, a really convincing win, and well done. And well done to the Kiwis. I agree with you, Greg. Unfortunately, it was just way too much rugby league. Very hard on the players. You know, the friends, you know, I played touch with and other league track, you know, we'll watch anything. But when people who are watching start saying, I don't care, you know, it's way.
Yeah, look, you and I who love our football, love all sport, but love our football particularly, neither of us were particularly interested. It just happened. And, you know, neither of us tuned in. And hence, we forgot to even talk about it last week. And I think that says lots about the timing and the length that competition, postseason competition took. And it just, you know, it's one thing to have a one-off test after the grand final or whatever, but, you know, to try and have a whole Pacific Nations tournament and still create some enthusiasm is another beast, and it just didn't work. I hope the rugby league learned their lesson because I think it didn't help the game at all, which is a bit sad.
You made a really good point. No, it didn't. But that's not to take any away from the Kiwi.
Absolutely not.
They played really well, and it's a slap in the face for Australia. So, you know, there's going to be some careers finished perhaps after that. But, you know, hopefully the national rugby sort things out. Greg, so things have happened recently. Look, we're not going to go through everything, but we can just some things of interest. Obviously, the Cricket World Cup we spoke about last week, you know, great and slightly unexpected win to Australia. AFL, NRL seasons came and went. Panthers and Collingwood victorious, Kansas City in a great Super Bowl. Recently, we've had some reasonably good news. The Australian women's sevens rugby team have won tournament bye. So one positive from the debacle that has great rugby 2003. So not a bad way to finish.
No, look, I think rugby union needs any positive they can get, particularly under Australian skies at the moment, because as you just point out, it has been absolute debacle for Rugby Australia. But kudos to the women's sevens for winning in Dubai, as you said. And it was a really nice way to finish the season for Rugby Australia, at least to have a positive moving forwards. They need a positive moving forwards, and at least that some sort of springboard to move forward.
Now, I don't want to overexcite you this early cast or podcast, but it was the Australian Open Golf.
Was it?
And it was a really good finish, and men's and ladies, and both sides, and exciting. It was the afternoon, the last hole, there was literally three or four lead changes. Anyone could have won the men. And it also went down to the wire, the women's championship. So in the men, it ended up equal 14 under. Joaquin on Chile and Rikuyu Hoshino Pan. Minwoo Lee, who sort of looked like throughout the day, once he got his putter going, sunk some putts, he probably just couldn't get going, make those major putts. He finished on 12 under. As you mentioned, off, Adam Scott made a real charge. He got to leader at one stage, fortunately celebrated that getting the lead. Logie never looks good on anyone's card, you're not a professional. And Lucas Herb played really well, 10 under. The highlight of it was probably Neiman hit the lead steep hole. So it was on 18. He went wide. I think it was the 18th, where it's a very eagleable hole. It's not birdie. And he went wide, basically close to it. So he had to play a shot, totally blocked, couldn't see the green, it was water, and he absolutely smoked it onto the green. It basically went a long way to winning him the championship. So well done to him. Look, Rikuyu Hoshino, very popular. He came second last well in the Australian PGA, and wasn't a long way, back to back Australian PGA, Australian Open 1 week. So now, well done to those players. Good viewing. And then the women, Ashley Buhai, Republic of South Africa. She won it last year, so well done to her, consecutive title. Ming Ji Lee, she made a real charge. She finished 8-1 stroke behind. So, look, it was great to see. We've talked about the demise of Australian golf and how short the tour is now, our season is. But it was really pleasing that they got really positive and really good crowd out at the Australian camp. So, yeah, real shot Australian golf. And I thought it was a nice way to hear at Australian golf.
Yeah, really, really, we've made the point a number of times, golf as a television sport is not my sport, but not taking anything away from the players that play the sport. And it's really, as you said, the season's very short now, basically only two tournaments in Australia leading into summer, but it was well attended in Sydney last week. And I think it was good to see Australians perform well in, significant tournaments. So it was a good way for the golfing calendar to come towards an end.
Yeah, it was. And it looked very exciting to see how particularly Minwoo Lee goes next year. He'll be in all the majors, Masters, etc., Open. So interesting to see how he kicks on from that hope. And also Adam Scott getting back. He has been struggling late and really him. Pretty big weekend, women's sport. It was the women's AFL grand final today, same time as the golf. It was Brisbane Lions, 7-2-4, defeated North Melbourne. Now, cannot take away, Greg, and I don't know what you are, but I'm talking about, so they're 8 years in. Yeah, so they're still built, but the standard is terrible. It's on watch.
Look, I haven't watched it, to be fair, so I'm not going to judge whether watchable or not. I think that's really sad if that is the case, someone who loves their sport and AFL feels that it's the stand is poor enough that it's unwatchable on television. Look, I find it difficult to comment. I don't want to make disparaging comments that are ill-informed. I think that's really not wise of me. My question is around the season. Why do they play it now? I don't quite understand. It's a nothing. It's not summer. It's not when AFL's in the middle of it. Like if it ran parallel as the men's AFL, would there be more? I mean, they get decent crowds from what I've heard. They don't get bad crowds at some of the matches.
I know, crowds are fine.
There's interest there, which is good.
Look, and I don't watch every game, so I'm just saying, four goals in the grand, and the winning team kicked seven. And it was at Princess, the old Carlton's home ground park, and the conditions were good. It was sunny. Look, the discussion I heard today, and one of the people talking made a fair. He said, but it's almost like two different, the men AFL, in that the men's AFL has been around for 100 and involved the stuff, the way it started. But
that's funny you say that, because that was going to be my very question to you. What would have AFL men's look like 80 years ago? They've only just started funding women's sport at that significant level. They've only just promoting it at that level. As you said, it's only been around 8 years. That's not very long for a sport to be at the level that they're trying to promote AFLW at. Give it time. We've got to be patient. You can't expect women and men to be equal at the same point when women's sport has been ignored all sports, not just AFL, but all sports for such a long time. AFL's tried to make the change and push it forward, and I think that's positive. I think as an audience, we need to be patient.
Yeah, well said. Yeah, I don't know whether to say I disagree. I just think, and you think, oh, what, when people who are, when you have a chat, 95, I know, say, no, they can't handle it. Yeah. Look, as you said, they'll involve the athletes, will get better, and hopefully will become more watchable, because you compare it to the rugby and the standard is really high. But they're totally different styles of game. So I get that. Yeah, so it's a work in progress. Look, and I'm not, and I'm certainly not questioning the toughness, the hardness at the football, incredible, in the women's AFL. There is no shirking of that. Those girls going all. It's just, it's the silky skill, you know, the accuracy of the ability.
That'll come with time, you know. The sport at a women's level hasn't been funded forever until the last 10 years. They're not going to catch up. They're not going to catch up at skill level. That sounds a negative statement, and I don't mean it to be negative, but you can't expect the skills to get equal in 10 years. We're finally funding the way the sport should head. And I think, as I said, it'll get there. We just need to be patient, and it'll grow incrementally each year. Those skills will get better. You'll get breakthrough players every year, which will raise the level every year. You know, you just need, through their draft, whatever they use, some young players with the skills. It'll get there. It will definitely get there. We just need to be patient. And I hope the patience hangs out long enough for it to get there, because I think the women deserve it.
Oh, I think it will, Greg, because apart from my opinion, a lot of people I know, the crowds are good.
Mm.
And in the traditional AFL states, it's very...
And look, AFL as a body are not shirking their, you know, the organisation financing of it. So there's no mention of a demise from the AFL point of view. So I think as an audience, we just need, as I said, just hang in there. I think it will get there.
And also Brisbane winning it again, Queensland, and the Sydney Swans team had a break. So yeah, so give it a interesting to see where it's at in five.
We talked about it. We talked about the men's, you know, Queensland and Swans and GWS performing so well, being non-traditional AFL states or areas. You'd have to say all of Australia traditionally is not AFL women, because there was no competition to play in, and now there is. So I think it makes a very level playing field, as opposed to all the Victorian teams being really strong. I think levels it out, because they're all coming from the same starting point, more or less, which I think is a good thing.
Good point. All right, we'll move on to cricket. Now, obviously the recent, we'll mention the World Cup, but also, seems a long time ago, we'll go right back. Well, obviously we had the summer, even I can't remember that far back, but the test series in India. So we played India five tests, the four test series over in India, which was hard fought, and with India winning that only by 1-0. Didn't get the job done. And look, India traditionally has been very hard place to win. We've only done it once, I think, over the last however many tries. But yeah, look, India... And we spoke at the length about that, and when they did a decent one, Australia played, we played well. So, yeah, but look, India still that, not final front, we have conquered it, but definitely still a very hard for us to win over there. But alas, we got to play them again in the final of the one-off test champ final at the Oval, which we won convincingly by 209 runs. Great start to our, you know, English summer. Now, do you remember much of that test, Greg?
I do, and I do remember they won comfortably. In fact, it was a good lead into the Ashes, because I think they took that momentum in those first couple of matches, which turned out to be really important, because they certainly faded and England got better as the series went on. So I think that having that test match, that serious test match before the Ashes, really benefited Australia, not just winning the World Championship of test matches, whatever they call it, but also leading into the Ashes series. I think it set them up really well, and they were much better. They're more ready to go on that first test match for the Ashes in England. And I think that really helped them. As we know, it ended up a drawn series, but because Australia held the Ashes, they retained the Ashes. And I think England were, you know, coming home with a wet sail there. And it was lucky there was not another test match, because I don't think we would have survived.
I don't think we would. And, you know, a little bit of luck with weather as well. But to our credit, we won this match, the first two tests. You know, so we started the first test by 2 wicket, and then the second test by 43 runs. So closest test matches. Third test where England actually started getting their stuff together. The drawn test match, weather intervened. And then England winning the last. So 2-2, but we retained the Ashes hold. So, yeah, look, a really good series, hard fought.
Great series to see. There was four actual results out of five matches. That's fantastic. And it probably would have been a result in that third test except for the weather.
Yes, and most likely. Anyway.
It certainly was looking like an England win. Thank God for the rain, for Australia's point of view. But Just the fact test matches played that way, where, you know, we went through that whole era where results in test matches were so unusual, and they've not just Australia and England, but all countries have turned that around and really looked to win or play for results. And I think that's really, certainly in Australia, reinvigorated test match cricket over the last 10 years, 15.
It has. And look, we don't often credit Stroke. And what also happens now is when they lose time to rain, they make it up. They do their best to make it.
Yeah. Yeah, start, add time on the beginning, start time on the end.
One day, yeah. So, you know, which is good. So it sort of makes up the time. Look, there's still a lot of constant interruptions, running drinks on second over and all that. But look, yeah, you're more time and result, you know, results are obtained. Now the draw is the rare.
Yes, yeah. And that's great for the good. Great for the sport and that format, which you and I both love, that traditional format of the game. I'd hate to see it die. I mean, it's struggling against 2020 these days, but in Australia, it's still really strong. I'm not sure it's that strong in other cricket-playing nations. I think 2020 has certainly become the predominant format. But certainly here in Australia, test season is still very well attended and very popular.
Look, here in England and a certain extent India, just something else I know, great in that Ashes series, 4 of the 5 tests went to day 5, which is excellent.
Yeah, so we got results, but they weren't over in 2.5 days, as sometimes it can happen. Yeah, I agree. It was a great series. Australia were lucky. They played well at the beginning when it counted, but they were lucky. Kudos to England for coming back. It was a really well-played series against two very even teams, in my opinion.
Yeah, oh, it was. No, I really enjoyed it. Well, speaking of cricket, probably aware, Mitchell John had a few things to say about David Warner planned retirement, and he certainly didn't miss. Were you aware of what?
Funny you mentioned, I was going to bring that up. So it's really funny you brought that up. Yes, I am aware of it. And yes, I read it. And he didn't leave anything behind. That's for sure. He let fly. And there's obviously no love lost between old Mitch Johnson and Davey Warner.
No, obviously not big. Obviously not the best of mates. That's playing. Do you think, I thought he made some good points with Johnson, but he was definitely playing not the top. I think he just a little bit overboard. But I think some of you said it does hold something.
I actually agree. I totally agree with you. I think he probably pushed it a little bit far. But that said, I agree with him. I don't think David Warner has ever owned his impact on that incident in South Africa, that ball tampering incident, where he, you know, stood in the leadership group, his influence within the team amongst younger players. You know, I don't think all the blame should lie with him. There are others involved, but he certainly was extremely influential. And I've never heard him really apologize particularly or really own, you know, the role he played in that whole incident. So I kind of get where Mitch Johnson was coming from. And look, the fact this whole I declare when I retire and I want to finish on my terms, did he really earn that right? You know, I'm not sure he did. I've never been the hugest Dave Warner fan anyway. I think, you know, he's a bit like Michael Clarke. I think he's a bit of a polarizing personality, not taking away his skill, but I think he's a bit of a polarizing personality. And I think, you know, the arrogance, you know, the fine line between competitiveness and arrogance is hard to handle sometimes.
I don't think it was very fine. I agree. I love him as a cricketer. He's absolutely wonderful, exciting batsman to watch. You know, and he's a great fielder, a great competitor, but not a great spoon. You know, in bad sleep and all that sort of rubbish. Yeah, and the attack dog, yeah, when he was the so-called attack dog. Yeah, no, not a fan either. And as you said, never took for the sandpaper thing. Just on the point about, yeah, declaring when you retire. Well, he hasn't done a thing. Apart from that double cent last year, whenever it was, he's done nothing in 3 years in test cricket.
No.
What I think, someone was saying this stuff in the ABC again, or saying, you know, he doesn't warrant his spot. What has saved is a lack of anyone else putting their hand.
I was about to say the same thing. The only thing that saved his spot is there's who else? There's no one else really shining to put their hand up to say they'd take the opener role away from him. Because I think that if there was, he would have probably been given the boot. I mean, as you said, apart from double century against South Africa and Melbourne last summer, he's really done nothing for 18 months to 3 years in the test match arena. Yeah,
keep your spot. And also to be declaring, oh yeah, this is when I retire, as if you're assumed like that's no.
I agree with you.
I think Steve Waugh or right for that sort of thing.
Look, he captained Australia probably through the heights of our era of watching cricket. It was probably at its peak and had that record of test matches in a row and such a strong team when you look who was in that team. And he led all those personalities with success. He was the captain, so he was selected based on his captaincy as well as his batting prowess. David Warner, he's not even allowed to be, nor should he be. You know, he can't have any leadership role within the team at all, and nor should he after that incident.
No, I agree. The fact that he hasn't, as you said, taken ownership. Now, plenty would argue about Steve Smith, should he be the vice captain of that, but he totally owned. You know, I think that's where the difference lies. But look, end of the day, it all comes down to on the field. If he scores runs, he'll get what he wants. If he doesn't, he'll be under the pump. And ironically, Cameron Bancroft is one of the major sort of people who were in the frame that if he does get moved on.
Which, wouldn't that be an irony if he did get dropped for Cameron Bancroft? That would be a sports journalist delight, I would say.
It would be. And probably Mitchell Johnson's as well.
Yes. So, yeah, look, I agree. Probably pushed it a bit far, but I can't disagree with Mitch Johnson. I actually probably aligned more with his side of the argument from as an outsider looking in over the last few years of Australian cricket. I probably aligned more closely with Mitchell Johnson's point of view, to be completely honest.
It's a good point. And it obviously, it reminded me a little of the comments he made at times about Steve. Yeah, had some reasonable points, but just went that little bit.
Yeah.
Made it obvious that he didn't like the person.
Yeah.
Now, which is their prerogative. So, you know, if you put your name, someone said, oh, has it been confirmed, ghost written thing? Thank you.
No. If his name's
you put
on
your
it,
name to it.
Yeah, he's got to own it.
Which I'm sure. So interesting to see how that plays out. So the first test then, Perth, way.
No, it's coming up quite soon.
The summer season, the cricket caravan rolls on. Now, major news, probably the major NRL worst kept secret. Michael Maguire has been South Wales State of Origin coach for next year. And they've also appointed, you know, the Port staff around him, which is good. So it seems like he won it. He resigned, didn't he? He eventually did.
Yes.
Coaching, which was the right thing. There's no way you can hold both those, in my opinion. So
not with the pressure that's going to come from New South Wales Rugby League. I'm not saying he couldn't do the job, but the visual of it would be not appropriate.
Yeah, no, I agree. Now, sorry to jump, Greg. Back to the cricket story. Johnson, he also alluded that he thought George Bailey, chief champion, too close. Not, I guess it's a different world now. Back in the day, it was, you know, far removed Don Brad, blokes, you know, in suit and tie, sitting in a grandstand occasionally, having nothing to think. But I just think the nature change. Look, as long as chief of selector, when it comes down to the crunch, is impartial, you know, totally based on form, no favour, mate. You know, if you put your hand up for that job, if you're willing to tell the bloke that you played with that his career's over, that's fine.
Look, I agree. And the game's evolved, the rules have evolved, the sport's evolved, then the processes evolve with them. And, you know, it would be really challenging to be, you know, playing with some of those players and clearly friends with those same players because he's not that far removed and then having those tough conversations. But as you just quite rightly said, if it's done in an unbiased way and the best players are picked based on form alone, I have no problem with it. If there's anything else going on, which was alluded to in that article, that sometimes he might be a bit close and too friendly with some of the players, then questions will be asked. But no one else has raised it except Mitchell Johnson. So that in itself is interesting.
Yeah, look, and you see it, you know, if all of a sudden the test team has five Tasmanians, well, that's going. And let's face it, it's happened before. Yeah, really, yes. It's not like it hasn't happened. You know, when Greg Chappell was involved, Trevor Hone, how can useless Queensland at Baggy Green?
Very true.
Yeah, good evening, Scott Muller. The name of, but unfair Scott, Adam Dale as well. And we go.
There's a few.
Yeah, but anyway, well, yeah, I think fair point. But also, it can't be a selector who wasn't a player that long ago because he knows the ins and outs of what it involved professional cricket. I know, but I think I still think it's good for someone like to have, you know, have you say.
I agree. As long as he speaks up and owns it, I have no problem with it. I really don't. As long as he doesn't get too personal, as long as, you know, he doesn't personally attack people, and that's for anybody. I fair game. And you want personalities that speak their mind. You don't always want to agree with them. You know, I guess Shane Warne was a perfect example of that, but I think he got a bit personal sometimes and he didn't appeal to me personally, but he always spoke his mind. He always had an opinion. He never sat on the fence, and that I respect.
Totally agree. Now, apologies to Matt, just stole his thunder. But yeah, so Michael Maguire's got the coaching team he wants. I'm hoping he does well. As usual, it's going to be, as you mentioned, intense pressure come election, RE, when selection comes. But hey, you put your hand up for the gig, you live and die by your result. So, you know, clean slate, which I think is a good thing. And very interesting to see where we go.
You were far more positive about the announcement than I was. That said, I don't know who else I would have picked. So I, you know, accept that. You know, he's got a full-time gig for 6 months. He's got the team he wants around him, as you said. As long as he, you know, there'll be a lot of pressure on him because New South Wales haven't performed well, for the last 15 years overall. So there's a lot of pressure there for whoever the coach was going to be. There'll be a lot of questions over whoever he selects. It doesn't matter which team he selects, there'll be question marks because that's just the way the media cycle operates. But, you know, as you said, clean slate, fresh start. Let's see what happens next year and full support. See where it goes.
In his court, because, and you've heard me bang on about how I think, 12 months and then bring Bell. But because whoever it was going to be, Maguire, if they do well and win the series, well, you know, it changes everything.
Definitely.
So, look, so Michael Maguire, so court role, John Cartwright, who assistant coached the Titans first grade credential. Matty King, who's a bit of a coach on the rise. He's been at the Roosters since 2017, Melbourne before that. And Brett White, currently on the coaching staff at the Titans, been at the Raiders as well. And also, three of those four have a close relationship. So, certain one.
Not bad pedigree. Not bad pedigree coming in.
That's right. And, you know, you could argue about Madge's Tigers, but I defy any coach and get any results. So, no, well done to Madge. We're in the best and good luck, because he's probably going to need to watch this space. Now, just quickly, Greg, before we going to ask you a few questions about what you really enjoyed, highlights, lowlights, things this year. We've mentioned over the course of the podcast, fortunately, players come and go, and great sporting greats we've lost, as you know them. Some, unfortunately, just father time related, a couple way before their time, but just a few. We mentioned Dick Fosbury early on.
Oh, yes, yes.
Flop passed away. Look, the great John Sattler, forever immortalized heroics in that famous grand final against Manly, playing with a broke jaw. Now, one you may not be aware of, Tom, she passed away age. She was the first Aboriginal woman to play cricket for Australia. Yeah, 1958. And how's this? She went on a tour to England, wherever they went. But the next two series, she was select, but she was from Adelaide, chose not to go and wanted to stay and keep. She was a nurse. Said no, she preferred to stay and keep working at that. So, yeah, so she had obviously a very talented sportswoman and a trailblazer. So her, look, a name that you may not, Jim Hine, American athlete. He was the first. Passed away. He was the first person to ever run 100 or timed anyway. So another trailblazer.
Quite incredible, actually, when you think about it.
Yes. I know it's happened a lot since, but at the time, you know, really, really motivated. So that's a great achievement. Sir James Hardy, very famous yachting Australia. You know, he was around the game years for yonks. You know, America's Cup Challenger, finance, John Bertrade thing. And a few in cricket, Brian Tabor, keeper for Australia. He passed away this year. We mentioned we had a whole spiel on Ron Barath, AFL legend. Bobby Charlton, we also met, English soccer great. And just recently, Terry Venner.
Yes.
Passed away, age 80, former England, Australia.
Socceroos coach, yeah.
Look, and just a really good bloke. He was just a very good bloke. Yeah, famously coached the Socceroos the game that most Australia remember, when we just could never seem to make cup. 96 was.
Be around there, yeah.
In those, the playoff again.
Always, up until then, it was always a bloody South American team. We never quite could cross the line. And then when we moved over to Asia, we had their game against Iran.
That's right. And we won over there 1-0. We away goals too, right? And we were up 2-0, so 3-1. That's 3-0 on aggregate. 4-0. No, so we won 1-0. But anyway, Iran scored, equalised 2-2. So that's 4. So anyway, that was the end of our World Cup aspirations for another 4 years.
So had it all done and dusted into the last bit of the game.
But no, great career as a manager, player. You know, very popular, charismatic player. You know, just a real face of the game. So great. Yeah, we celebrate Terry Venner, another soccer. England's lost a few soccer legends this year.
They have, haven't they?
But I guess the old father time. And look, unfortunately, as a sport, unfortunately, a few we lost way too soon. Former front rower for Canterbury and Western Suburbs, Kyle White, died at rough age. Great player. One of the biggest hits I've ever seen. I was watching on TV when he absolutely smashed Dean Lant, the Raiders veteran captain, lock forward. Unbelievable hit. And he had that ability, just not a big bloke for a front rower, but good footwork, balance. And sadly, we met Kyle Turner, passed away at 31, member of the South Sydney team back in mid-2000. Very sad. But, unfortunately, sport, part of society, mental health, etc., probably exists. And sports people are certain. Greg, I was going to ask, I mentioned before, what I'm going to ask you, without notice, apologising, but for you, 2023, going to ask you for a sporting highlight, sporting low, and like a breakout, either a player or a team or someone sort of really step.
So my highlight, I've got two, and I'm not sure what you're going to say. So if I cross over your boundary, I apologise, but my two highlights, first one was the Men's Cricket World Cup. I was just, and only because I was so surprised they actually won. Not surprised they got to the final with serious contention, but to beat India in India on their wickets under those conditions, I just didn't see it happening. So kudos to that team. I think that was a phenomenal performance. And that was probably a highlight for me because it was unexpected. My other highlight was the Women's Soccer World Cup and just the performance and just raising the profile and the way the Australian sporting public came together to support the Matildas during that time on their home soil. And the team rose to the occasion and performed so well, finishing fourth. They probably were disappointed they finished fourth, but they shouldn't be. They're amazing and did an amazing job representing themselves, the country, and obviously raising the profile of football in Australia. So they were probably my two highlights this year.
My highlight, sticking the NRL, I can't go the Panthers. The reason being, going back-to-back is so damn. To do a three-peat, back-to-back-to-back, you know, unheard of in the modern game, and such a hard do. So, yeah, I just thought it was amazing. And I was definitely sorry that the magic was, they had to work a lot harder for it, I thought. And, you know, basically Brisbane had the game won and a comeback the way they did and get over the line. You know, three, I said it for so long, what the Roosters 5 years ago were the first to do it back-to-back. And everyone said, well, that won't happen. And then to eclipse that, you know, is quite amazing. And it'll be
extremely impressive.
Very interesting to see if they can go close again.
As you said, it seemed a bit harder this year, particularly at the beginning of the season. Once they got their stride, I think in the back half, they looked good. But they certainly started a bit slower for a whole range of reasons, I guess. But yeah, look, they showed their true style, ability, form when it really counted in the back end. They were amazing. As you said, Brisbane kind of had them beat. And, you know, Nathan Cleary took the team on his back and they followed. They didn't do it on his own. He led them, but he didn't do it on his own and just rolled over the top of Brisbane that last 20 minutes of that grand final. So, yeah, good choice. Credit to them.
Something that you look back at the records and go, wow. You know, the first team to do it in 50 years, mighty Parramatta Eel. Hi, Macca, if you're listening. Long, long time ago. And honorable mention, like, they really. What about low light?
Look, I got two again. One, quite a personal one, and one you won't be surprised at. First one, which is the one you won't be surprised at, I'm going to say the Rugby Men's World Cup, but just Rugby Australia. They're just lowest of lows at the moment. I guess the only positive is it can only get better. There's a whole article, you probably read it in the Herald this week, about can Phil Waugh save Rugby Australia? And I think we talked about that a couple of weeks ago. I think that's the sort of person we need leading rugby in Australia, ex-player, superstar of his day, but also got the business mind. So understands the game from a playing point of view at that level, but got the business acumen and background to lead us out of the doldrums we're in. So yes, the World Cup, the Eddie Jones experiment, and that's been kind, and just the whole disaster that is the sport. Look, we both acknowledge it's not our favourite sport, but you don't want to see it die and be in the state it's in as a sports lover in this country either. And I only hope that it improves and just look back and go, what a disaster. But as I said, it can only get better. It can't get worse from here, or God forbid if it did. But I think that's a low light. Look, on a personal level, and this is a real personal level, my beloved Illawarra Hawks basketball team, they are just a basket case. Finished last in the last season with only 3 wins out of the whole competition. Their worst season since 1978. They're the only foundation club left in the competition, and they had their worst season ever. So that was, you know, for a regional team, struggling financially, always have, but always hung in there and survived. To be at the bottom of the bottom again, that bit upsetting. So hopefully we're moving forwards at a very slow rate, but a bit like the Rugby Australia, can only get better. So yeah, that was a bit of a disappointment for me for the last NBL season, 2022-23 season.
The Hawks can, you know, fire up next season. For me, they have a low light. Look, apart from the Tigers winning again, they're a bit like rugby. The only way is up. And also, obviously, low light, calling the AFL premiership. Always, their success is always a low light. But sort of, not directly on the field sport, but a low light for me was the carry on from the Lords, for gentlemen, long room at Lords. I just thought, you know, I know in the scheme of things, it's not a big one, but for the so-called custodian of the game and all their great value they test to have and all that, and to just carry, the basic carry
call. On. Good call. Sport. Yeah, that's loop, a fair call.
And I thought that really, really poor. It was funny as well. Don't get me. It was, you know, the irony of it, that. But I thought overall for the disappointing for the best game. And look, an embarrassment for the rest of the people at carry.
Yeah, very true. I think like all these things, I think it was a minority of those members that caused the ruckus but got all the attention. The majority of members probably held themselves together and, you know, kept their feelings to themselves regardless of how they felt about that incident. They didn't, you know, outwardly show that emotion. And as you said, for the supposed to be the gentleman of the game and the custodian of the game, and let's be honest, they hold themselves at a higher standard than everyone else around the world in the cricket world, and that was very disappointing to see.
Because by the rule and the fact is that the batsman was out.
Yeah, by the rules of the game, which they invent and control, by the way, the player was out.
That's right. Should know better. All right, what about sporting breakout?
Look, this was a harder one for me, and it's a bit of a personal selfish one, and I'm going to pick probably one no one will pick out, but I'm going to pick it out. I'm going to pick Josh Giddey. Now, I know he's been in the media lately for all the wrong reasons. I'm not going to go there because there's more speculation and innuendo than fact around that at the moment. And I'll come back next year when we've got all the facts about it. But his performance at the Basketball World Cup at his age, he got the Rising Star Award at the World Cup. And I think just his breakout performance in his role in Australia at 19 years old on the world stage showed what a class player he is. And I think that was it's the first time he'd performed for Australia at that level. And he really led the team. And as I said, he was named by FIBA as the rising star of the tournament. So I think that to me is the breakout at that international level. That's my pick.
Stepping up to the plate. He was one of my men, Josh Giddey, and just how he's playing for the Thunder as well. And my other honourable mention was Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah, good call. Yeah, look, the way he's leading Tottenham in the EPL, he's just phenomenal. What a great coach/manager he's turning out to be.
And yes, he's hit a few hurdles, but you know, to draw 3-0 over Man Standing. But probably the breakout for me would have, in a sport that I'm not a huge follower, but Oscar Piastri, Formula One. You know, he came in with big raps on him, and often it's a very difficult sport and often doesn't follow through. But he's, you know, for a youngster and to, you know, get poked at, because he only came in, he didn't start for, came in about further away. But yeah, he's just done a standing job, and he really does look driver of the future. And hopefully will be our next world champ. Not immediate, takes time, but you know, if not in the next five, hopefully next five.
Certainly, Shaney, he's going to be competitive. He's got the skill as a driver. As long as you get the right car, whatever team that might be, if you can get to the right car, I think he's got every chance of being a world champion. But you're right, that's a really good call, because he started the season a bit slow as he, you know, was developing, but came the back half of the season as a couple of podiums and performed really, really well in a team that's obviously getting better. So yeah, that's a good shout out. I agree with you totally. Yes.
And importantly, it's a cricket tragedy. I don't know if you saw a photo. He rocked up the Vegas event in a Brett Lee.
I did see that. He had a Brett Lee World Cup retro shirt. Yeah,
retro
one day
shirt.
World Cup retro shirt.
Yeah, no, which I thought was great. Yeah, so for me, he was my sporting breakout. So there we go, Rick. So was there any guilt at all, any thought, diction, recollections, anything else?
No, look, we'll see what happens. As I said, I hope my Hawks start to improve. Hope the Tigers and the Dragons both have better seasons next year. They can't go much worse. Well, your boys certainly can't go worse. My boys can, but we'll see what happens. They're pretty low, but both getting new coaches moving into 2024. So let's hope on the rugby league front we're a bit happier at campers next year. We'll just see what plays out next year. I'm sure there'll be, you know, ups and downs as there always is in sport, which is why we love it.
Oh, we do. More theatre, Shakespeare. And it's a great, not sort of side, it's mirrors life, so, but at the end of the day, it is only, like, we joke around, it's not life and death, it's way, but in a serious note, yeah, with everything going, at the end of the day, okay, we get upset sometimes in our team. It's entertaining.
Absolutely. And I think we've got to keep it in that perspective as well. As much as we love it and we talk about it seriously sometimes, in the scheme of things, it's only a game, it's only sport. We all move on, and I think we've got to keep that in perspective as well.
We're just fortunate to be able to play it at a very low level and watch those who can play it extremely hot.
Hopefully. Good call. Well, I think that wraps us up, not just for this week, but for the year.
All right, Greg. Well, thank you so much. And thank you so much, Greg, for your hard work. Particularly on the tech note, you're our producer/host. And it takes a while, you know, fiddling and trying to get my gibberish sound only half bad. But, mate, it's been a pleasure. We've had fun, I think. Well, I know I have.
No, I definitely enjoy it. No worries with the tech side. Quite enjoy that too. But as I said, we have the chat about sport, whether we record or not. So, you know, to get a few listeners that tune into us, all the more and all the better. But yeah, look, thank you to you for your time and chatting about sport and recording it. And I really enjoy it as well, and look forward to whatever it might look like next year. We're going to continue. Not sure how that's going to look next year, but certainly continue into 2024 and looking forward to it.
Me as well. So listeners, thanks once again. Look, have a wonderful holiday, everyone. Safe one, of course. And we look forward to hopefully a few of you tuning in next, see what the sporting world brings.
Yep, well said. I extend that. Merry Christmas, or have a great holiday season and New Year to everyone listening. And we will both be back catching up in the new year, but safe time over that Christmas New Year period to everyone. And thanks for listening.
Bye, everyone.